Right, okay, here we go. Right. This is an oral history recording on the 16th of February 2015 with Elizabeth Wells, archivist.
Tom Edlin, history master.
Martin Rogers.
Jane Rogers.
Brilliant. Right.
Could we start by asking you, Martin, about why you became a teacher, why you went to Westminster in the first place?
Oh, gosh. We've written down.
Yes.
Well,
we talked
down.
About this.
Did we? Mm. Can't read it. You'll realise I'm about 110, won't you? I left Cambridge 1953. Yes. Worked in industry. Mm. Henry Wigan, it was called. Mm. Selling nickel alloys. But I always thought teaching and selling were rather the same thing.
Ah, selling your subject.
The back of my mind, I always had teaching, and I was.
You always wanted to teach.
Always wanted to teach, but
my father wanted you to broaden.
Well, he had two things. One, he didn't think teaching was a very good thing. I suspect deep down wasn't well enough paid. He was a successful businessman. But two, he also quite rightly said, if you're going to be a teacher, you go straight from university to teaching, you've never seen the real world at all. I thought that was a very good point. Anyway, so I did my two years, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Teaching and selling. And selling, as I've said before, just now, it's very much like teaching. Teaching is selling. I tried to get the message across. And I was teaching chemistry. Why did I teach chemistry? It was my subject, wasn't it? I did natural sciences, actually. Did I do
a
part two in chemistry?
And a part two in history.
Part two in history, that's right. So I had a rather, actually, from the teaching point of view, a broad education is rather helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine if I'd just done nothing but chemistry all the way through university, mm-hmm. I think that would have been less well educated. The head of department at that time was a man called Crumpler.
Because there was a sudden vacancy at Westminster for chemistry master.
I'd forgotten that.
Somebody had to go.
Oh.
What do you mean we had to go?
No, not you. So the master had to
go. Oh, yes, they got rid of him.
They got rid of him.
That's quite right.
And so
there was this
sudden vacancy.
Yes.
And you were lucky that tied in.
Yes, because I had no qualifications for teaching.
No,
teaching
no,
qualifications.
You had your degree.
So I was very ill. But I did like rowing, and that was a good thing. And I joined the CCF as well. I didn't like that very much. I mustn't say that.
I think you're very welcome to say that.
I mean, the CCF never appealed to me tremendously. It was rowing I loved, and that was the fun thing. It all went down.
And you liked the Cairngorms and all that part of it. That was
the Cairngorms. It was lovely. Yes. So the expedition side, you're quite right. And the rowing going down was marvellous. Kind of, based in the middle of a great city like London, to be able to go down to the river.
Yeah.
Lovely for the boys, but also for the staff. We really enjoyed that. It didn't seem very far at the time. It took us about half an hour, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was easier in those days.
Easier than those days, wasn't it?
Less traffic.
But that was good. CCF, mm-hmm. Which, as I say, I wasn't terribly thrilled with, but it was a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the post time.
Yeah.
What else? Godsock, I've got this. That was the RE Society, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that was quite a good society. Does that still go? Probably not.
We have about 58 societies at the moment.
yes, that's very...
There's now a secular society.
Oh.
A secular society, that's very modern, that's
yes,
very up-to-date.
I know, don't want to talk about
yes.
that.
Yes, lovely. Yes, you can't So what else did...
The rather good thing about Godsock was that it was usually involved with people from the Abbey, so it was quite a good link.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
And then the Abbey people, yes, it was Edward Carpenter and Michael Stancliffe and somebody else, Hollis?
Howard Hollis,
that's right. They were all on the staff, or they were?
No, they were all canons.
They were canons who were on the governors, therefore. Right?
I don't think they were governors.
Two of them would have been.
Mm.
Edward was.
Well, Edward became.
Yes.
I think Michael Stancliffe was. One time.
Was he? Yes, he might have.
And then there was House Student Busbys, wasn't
there? Yes.
That's like, what year would that have been? 56 I've got written down.
I think
sure
you probably were a tutor in 56, that's why
was
we
I?
Wrote it down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were married in 57.
57. Yeah. Then I became a house master of egos in 64, according to my notes here, which was good fun. And then moved to all that. Did people do that in those days? But they do now. But moved to be master of the Queen's Scholars in January of 67. Mm-hmm. And that was a lovely, lovely job, really, because I loved the Abbey and I loved all the hoo-ha that went with it. It was great fun. And you were deputy head, I think.
Yes, you were in those days.
So. Yes,
Undermaster as well.
Undermaster and Master of
Queen's Scholars.
Sounds so grand.
Mm. One of the grandest titles you could have.
You could really get to know the parents of the boys, because it was a smallish number, and the boys as well. It was a good number to have in a house.
Yes, have 40 boys in the house. That's very, is it still a small size?
Mm. It's still 40 boys, yeah.
Mm. It is, and there was a Master of Queen's Scholars.
Yes, who's not the Undermaster.
No.
Not the Undermaster. No. Oh.
They've split the jobs.
Yes, I can see that. I can see you. With the school much bigger, that's probably an important thing to do, sensible thing to do. But it was a fun job, wasn't it? I really enjoyed that.
Rigos was fun, but we weren't there very long.
Mm. No, we weren't there long enough to settle in, but... you couldn't really turn down the Master Queen's Scholars. It was too good a job
Was it a job for which you had to apply moving to college and to become Undermaster, or was it you were anointed by...
No, I think John Carlton asked.
John Carlton probably invited me. Mm. Yeah, I think he did.
I mean, he'd appointed you to Rigo's.
Yes, he was a very great
Jim
supporter.
Winton, so
he was a great supporter, wasn't he, John Carlton? He was awfully good to us.
Yes, he was.
And very good.
Do you think he'd planned that he was, he gave you Rigo's for some boarding house experience as a housemaster before you became...
I don't think John Carlton was a great planner.
Yeah.
I think he did it on instinct,
might not
really.
Have moved when he did.
Right.
I mean, he could have been there for more years.
Yeah.
And John Carlton retired, didn't he? So.
Yes, but Jim was.
Yes. But then, Master of Queen's Scholars, January 1967, having been House Master Regos from 64.
That's right, we've done that.
So we buzzed about it. Mm-hmm. Headmaster Morven, 71 to 82. Not
that we've left Westminster now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. We're Headmaster Morven, you can't be at Westminster. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Right. The end.
So you saw in the first year of John Ray
Yes, we did. He was.
John Ray was a friend of ours.
He's an old friend.
We had known him for quite a long time. He and Martin met on a sort of chaplains and young schoolmasters conference, which was held in the Easter holidays. And so we had got to know them. And when they were in Taunton, we had a cottage very near. So we got to see more of them and their family.
Ah, yes, I was going to ask you about the Rays, because John Ray, in one of his books, he sort of makes mention of the friendship but doesn't really develop upon it. He just says, but unfortunately, you weren't still at Westminster for very long after.
But we were good friends, certainly, for a long time. Mm.
Was there quite a lot of extra work for you to do when there was a new headmaster and you were the undermaster established?
Well, inevitably, because you're deputy head, so obviously the person who does that has to work quite hard. But somehow the sort of people who took on the job at Westminster were pretty good, weren't they, the headmasters?
I think he hadn't got into his stride. I mean, it was 1 year, he was just sort of
what are we talking
settling
about
in. Taking that you were still there when John Ray was appointed after John Carlton, who'd been in the school for years and years.
Yes, that's quite true. So it was a rather different situation, yes.
What Ray was finding his feet and settling in, and then we were off. So
yes. But I think the sort of Westminster being that sort of rather open style of school wasn't. I don't know if that meant it was better or worse, probably harder in some ways to be headmaster of Westminster. So. But. Anyway, John was very good at it, wasn't he? We always thought he did it very well. He was a bit of a controversial figure, but... You hesitations.
Yes.
No comment.
No, I didn't know him well at all, actually, because...
Sorry, was you?
I didn't know him well.
Oh, he didn't know
him well. Because he had retired by the time I arrived.
Yes, I will. So. That's right. I mean, he was a slightly controversial figure, of course, but...
But he did a lot for the school.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, what?
He did a lot for the school.
John did? Mm. Oh, yes. And he was, yes... He had a sort of broad view, didn't he, really? Very good at the PR stuff and always seen on television or whatever it was, which was... Westminster was a good thing to be in. Much as other schools, they might have really not liked that very much. Really.
But also, it, in a sense, it coincided with the school having more funds and being able to develop more, whereas the thing we always remember, things were really, really very tight. I mean,
financially tight.
Get a lick of paint was an achievement beyond.
What was that?
To get a lick of paint was an achievement.
paint? What's that? This
and you know, moving house was quite hard going because there wasn't much help towards moving house.
You mean as a member of staff?
Yes, as a housemaster.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved to Rigo's, I had no kitchen.
Mm.
And we had to gave it to my parents to store. And it was quite hard with little children, and that you know, was...
They produced a kitchen.
And they made a kitchenette, sort of, outside the bedrooms. Are you using all these stories? My best quote is when I came to have the third child, which we were in Rigo's when our daughter was born. And we all went to Westminster Hospital, and they were very, very welcoming to the school mothers and wives, very welcoming, and it was quite small in those days. And I was having an appointment there, and these rather grand consultants and doctors walked in, and he picked up the paper and said, "Why is this woman having her baby in hospital and not at home?" No, sort of, "Hello, Mrs. Rogers, why are you having your baby?" And there was a terrible flurry amongst the student doctors. They said, "Oh, it says here, sir, bedroom too public." And it was, of course.
Yes,
everybody walked right past to go up to the top floor.
Wouldn't it be an ideal place to produce babies?
So he looked down and said, "Is that really so?"
Was it slightly less public living in number 3 when you moved to college?
Yes.
More of a sort of private house?
Yeah.
Well, in what sense?
I mean, because in Rigo's, it's very much sort of
you're
integrated
part of the
into the whole.
Yes, that's right. And the same with college, of course. Yes.
Well, we had a kitchen in number 3.
Oh, the luxury.
So we did have some privacy.
Oh, no,
number 3 was perfect.
I mean, it was a very public house by most people's standards.
Everybody
there
walked
was
through
more,
it.
There was more. There was a bit of privacy.
It was also quite a big house, isn't it, really? I mean,
yeah,
if you think what it was worth on the market, it would be brilliant, especially now.
Mm.
How much of the house, number 3, I'm wondering, was yours when you were in college? Because the basement was other things?
Top two stories.
The
very much
were music practice rooms and the bookbinder.
Mm. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Bookbinding's just moved.
And then we had the ground floor, which and
was public,
the kitchen and the dining room and a little cloakroom.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And then the first floor. I mean, it was very public, really.
Mm.
And then the first floor had your study and the drawing room.
The study obviously.
We went to the bedrooms.
Right. Yes, because the top floor is now a separate flat.
I think somebody told us that.
It would have been. You would have had a very spacious.
It was lovely. Yes.
Yes, it was
spacious. It
was spacious. Wasn't it, really?
Mm.
You think what the value of that thing is in the middle of London. It was worth millions.
Au pair and a bathroom and a playroom.
Mm.
And Sarah's room.
Yeah.
And the boys' room. Yeah.
It was very nice, wasn't it? It was the best accommodation in the school, wasn't it?
I'm sure it was.
From the point of view of staff.
Yes, it was a good house to live in. Have you come across the book which was written by somebody?
John Rayner's book.
Yes.
Whose
book? The Butterfly Man. With the ghosts.
With the ghosts of number 3.
Mm.
Sorry, which is this? This is the...
Yeah.
John Rayner.
Oh, yes.
A Westminster Childhood.
Yes, that's right.
Did you ever come across a ghost in number 3?
Not at all, but Dorothy Simpson did.
Ah.
You perhaps heard that, too. Yeah. Dorothy Simpson definitely said
I'd forgotten about her story. Mm-hmm. Somebody clumping about or just going wee?
Walking up the stairs. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you were able to accommodate one of the first girls at Westminster as a sort of unofficial.
Yes,
order.
We had on our level, our bedroom, that was what's called the Big Ben, the television room. It became the Big Ben room, then the television room, come down in the world. And then our bedroom, and then the bathroom, and then through a little passageway was this, a spare room. So if we had to put up a visitor or something, that's where they went. And that's where Virginia lived, I think.
Because it must have been an interesting time when girls were first arriving in the school and being taught within the school.
I remember her really very clearly, that she knew the school well because her parents knew Janet Carlton, they had friends in the school, and David was a boy in the school. And so she knew it. She knew it. And
she was the ideal sort of starter.
She knew the boys. She was quite
a
good boys
girl,
because they were
yes.
his friends. But the first morning I came down into the hall by the front door, and she was standing by the window looking out into yard, and she said, I can't do it. And I said, oh, but it'll be quite all right because you know them all, and it's, you know, you knew, and off you go. And so she did feel very new and different, I suppose.
And
then
it was a long time ago,
was
it?
She got her place. Well, there were no other girls,
exactly.
So that was very understandable.
But also, not only that, but the whole of society was much more
yeah.
Divided in that way. It's fortunate she survived, because she was a very good person.
Oh, she got
a
place
person.
In
the first, Westminster's first girl.
I must say I'm a bit vague about the other two, but I think they lived at home, but they were part of college. So maybe they were your other person you mentioned.
Mm.
She lived at home, she was part of another house.
Yes.
I think they did it like that, didn't they?
I think the person who I mentioned earlier, Jane Orr, was at a local school and just came for some science lessons.
Yes.
That rings a bell, yes.
Was really why a lot of the girls came
to
Westminster.
Yes.
Yes.
The science teaching was very good. I seem to remember. Distinguished people.
Yes, can we talk a bit about the science teacher? You mentioned Crump.
Yes, Crumpley, yes. Wonderful man. Good character.
Who else? Who were the sort of...
Oh, gosh.
Jeffrey Foxcroft.
Yes, James is much better at remembering people's names than I am. Anybody else think? It was. I wouldn't say we were a particularly
Mr.
brilliant
Bird
lot, but
was
science teaching was good,
wasn't
it?
Yes.
I mean, Westminster generally, the standards of teaching were very high, I think. And
David Custance.
I remember David Custance
yes,
well.
He's a friend.
And Derek Stebbins?
Yes,
of course, Derek Stebbins.
Derek taught me chemistry.
Did he?
Yes.
Wow.
And Muffet.
And
Muff.
Yes,
Muff.
And what, Andrew?
Muffet.
Oh, Muff. Yes, that's right, yes.
Yes.
Well, it was all rather a novelty in those days, wasn't it, really, I suppose. I don't know.
Was science novel? I mean, was there still a hierarchy in the school with classics at the top and everything
I think science was still considered by some of the older members of staff.
What was the famous story, the line?
What was that on?
In the book. Staff, I'm in the right school. With a line across, and the science staff were below the line.
I don't think that was Westminster.
Have you picked that one up?
No, I
don't think so. I don't think that was Westminster. Was it?
Probably not.
Perhaps you're right. My memory is so hopeless, really. It's no good. Certainly, science was considered by certainly a lot of the senior people as a slightly inferior subject. You know. This was not really academic, intellectual, like that. But the kids, for the boys, liked it, didn't they? Boys enjoyed it, that was a popular subject. And they did quite well. I must say, they did do well. It was lovely, but it was still quite a novelty, wasn't it, Westminster?
Yes, I can't
remember.
Really
I think so. I don't know when they first started teaching science. That must have been way before our time. But even so, it was still sort of developing, sort of growing subject. Anyway, that was good. I always enjoyed it. I love science. Because the other thing about science is the practical side. so much teaching is just teaching. But the great thing about science is that they've got to do it themselves.
Austin Stokoe was a physicist.
Austin Stokoe?
Austin Stokoe, you come across him? I know
the name.
He must have passed away now, has he?
Yes, I think he did die, yes.
Yes, people do.
He was a very eccentric character.
Yeah. What were the facilities like for teaching science in Sutcliffe?
Well, I think by modern standards, you would not be impressed when we went there. I mean, but they had the labs and they did a bit of lab work. But it moved on in our time hugely, didn't it? They did a lot of work on the labs and things, I think, to remember.
I think it was certainly, they modernised, yes.
Greatly modernised, yes.
But then even further afterwards, I mean, what appeared to be a big modernisation.
Yes.
Would have been thought by today's standards to be really rather meagre.
They used to have science open days.
Yes, they did.
Remember that?
Why did they do that? Just to get...
Well, we all walked round.
You mean who? To get ordinary people like you?
No, I think I wouldn't have wanted people like you. My parents, you know.
They all came round. Did that forgotten them?
Sure.
Let's have a look at what thing they didn't
they? The boys would demonstrate rather good at demonstrating.
That was to encourage.
It's the thing to do to demonstrate.
Mostly to encourage parents to send their sons to school.
Just to see how things were going. It was a sort of gesture.
So the ordinary their parents came.
Yes.
But not would be parents.
No. I think my memory is just parents. Mm-hmm. As you might put on a play or something. You had open day in the labs.
Because it was such a sort of unfamiliar subject, wasn't it, for those days, for parents. They wouldn't have done science at school, would they? They all have, I think so. I think it was still quite a new idea that you did science, but it was popular, wasn't it? It was really nice to teach it. It also was practical work, so much teaching in those days particularly was just write it on the board, write it down, learn it by heart. The fact is you could be given problems to solve, and that was really good, I think. Very interesting.
Yes, I think the only sort of film footage of the science labs I've seen from that time is from the Queen's visit
in
1960.
Yes.
And there are some wonderful clips there of the Queen being shown the science department.
Yes.
I've forgotten.
Elizabeth sent us all these films and we watched
them. Yes, that's right. We did.
That must have been a great occasion.
Yes. Even greater, I should think, than it would seem to be now, actually, because the Queen was, I don't know, in those old-fashioned days, the Queen was a bit of a special figure.
It was a huge excitement.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it? It was fun. We enjoyed it very much. And fortunately, Westminster's the sort of relatively sophisticated school, by the standards of those days, where the boys were quite relaxed. They didn't sort of panic about having the Queen in the same lab or something. But they did it very well. I thought the boys were very good about that, didn't you?
And you had your film society, you were filming.
Yeah, so we filmed the Queen's, actually. Mm-hmm. The films must be there somewhere in the archives.
We saw it too.
Recently?
Yeah.
When did we see that?
When Elizabeth sent us the films.
Oh, yes, that's right. Sorry. Gosh, so forgetful. That was nice. That was rather nice that we did actually film it all, because it was. Historically, it's a very good record.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat a film, really, from that point of view. Mm-hmm. You know what the Queen's wearing and, how she behaves and how she walks around and that sort of stuff.
Was it your idea to start the film?
Sorry?
Was it your idea to start the film?
I think
society?
I did start it, didn't I? Really? Yes. I think I did. Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it's another thing where the boys got to be quite practical, sort of learn through.
Yes.
Was it based in Busby's?
Busby's Film Society, yes. The Busby's Film Society.
The boys were mainly from Busby's
To start with, yes, then it became a sort of school thing in the long run. But yes, it was. I started as house tutor, didn't I? I think that's how it started. But
And Francis Brawes was very encouraging.
He was very good about it. I suppose all those films were hanging around somewhere there. You've been seeing them.
They're great. One of the things that strikes me with that film in 1960, you can tell how much John Carlton is enjoying it.
Yes.
He's in his element.
In his element. That's just what I said on the stage. He's absolutely...
He was very good at it,
wasn't
he?
He's absolutely in his element.
That's preserved now. But how many years ago is that? 50 years? 40 years? 30 years ago?
Yes,
55
years ago.
55 years ago.
Yes.
Mm. It's lovely that is there, and you can see George Carlson enjoying it, among other things. Yes.
He enjoyed those great occasions, didn't he?
Yes.
He rather liked them.
He did. John did, yes. Yeah. Yes, I think he did. He was very good at them, wasn't he?
He was
very good sort of public, not just public speaking, but he did that well, I think, but he was good at the sort of the PR stuff.
All the history that went with it. And
the history, and he liked the history, yes. Well, he did very well. I think it was a good time for him to be there.
He was very welcoming to us.
And he was super. Mm. He was marvellous to us. He was very, very encouraging, wasn't he, really? That was lovely. That was nice.
Mm. And a contrast to his predecessor, Walter Hamilton.
Well, we liked Walter, actually. We did like him, but he was a very different sort of character.
Huge character.
But he was very nice to us, wasn't he, Walter?
Oh, very. Well, he gave you the job.
That's quite... What do you mean?
Well, he employed you.
Oh, yes, took me on.
Yes, yes.
But since I was pretty badly qualified...
He was a great character.
Did he give me the head of the department job?
No, I don't think so.
Who did that?
That came later.
That would have been John Carlton. Huh?
Yes, but almost certainly have to be.
Mm. Sorry?
It would have to be. And
yes,
his wife was very nice, Jane Hamilton.
Yes, they're very good.
We're often told there was a little bit of sort of resentment when he left for rugby.
Mm.
People were rather put out about
it. Well, of course we were. Rugby. Whatever, I mean, how could he want to do it? Well, I think we had to admit it's quite sensible to move on. How long did you stay with us?
I think he was
only at Westminster
about
7 years.
Yes, it doesn't seem much, very long, does it? On the other hand,
schools are funny about that sort of thing. Now, I mean,
yes.
When we turned up
at
the next school, they wondered why on earth we hadn't stayed where we were, and you know, and moving around.
But still, it's with you, sir.
There are those who stay and those who move, aren't there?
Yes, that's right. I think it's a good thing for headmasters to move on every now and again. I mean, if they stay for too long, it really is quite a problem.
Going by modern standards, 7 years is perfectly respectable.
Perfectly reasonable,
yes.
Sorry, what was my
Tom said he was at Westminster 7 years, Walter, and by my modern standards.
That would be considered quite a good long time, quite right, good. Why not? Now, I think it's a good thing that people move on, personally, compared with the company. Everybody seemed to stay for 30 years, you know. Actually, I think that had a slightly sort of deadening effect, really.
I suppose it also depends when you're appointed, you know, the age at which you're
appointed.
Because John Ray was so much younger when he went to Westminster and then stayed for 16 years.
Yes.
It was quite a long time.
So which
is a very long stint.
Yes,
very long stint. Yes. Where did he go after that? He went.
He retired.
He retired.
Mm.
From there.
I think he was quite keen to have another job after that, but it was just
so
difficult to go anywhere from Westminster.
You're slightly controversial.
Yes.
And in those days, that was not necessarily an advantage.
Mm. But I don't know how long Walter was at rugby, because I think he had to retire. I mean, from age point of view.
He went back to Cambridge from rugby.
So he did, yes.
He was the head of
that's
college,
right.
Wasn't he?
He went to Magdalen.
Yes.
That's right, yes.
That's right.
Which is the perfect thing to do, isn't it? Was or was in those days.
Mm. Yes. And he was a scholar, really, wasn't
he? He was a very academic type. And he deserved it all. Yes, you do need to move around if you're... Especially if you're headmaster.
It's
a very difficult thing to do for many, many, many years. A lot of people do, but I'm not sure it's a good idea. Perhaps it's not the same now.
Well, one thing that strikes me now, obviously the job of Undermaster now is a bit different because it's not Master of Queen's Scholars as well.
It's
the Deputy Head. Now have this idea that if you're appointed as Undermaster, you're going to be moving on to a headship within 5 years.
Yeah, within 5 years.
And that's the way they see it now.
Yes, yes.
Was that at all the case
in
your time?
No.
Because
no.
I know a number of Undermasters did.
Mm. Some did. Oh, yes, yes, yes. But it wasn't standard, was it, as far as I remember?
No, I don't think it was...
Mm.
No, I wouldn't.
Some did, some didn't.
Henry did, and Jim did, and you did.
And then Jim Cogan didn't.
Jim Cogan didn't, because that wasn't his style, really.
Yeah.
So there's a little Cogan in the school. Is that right now? Well, he may not be called Cogan, but our grandchild.
I believe one of the grandchildren is about to come to school.
Yes,
next year. So there's a bit of a Cogan dynasty.
Yes,
yes, wonderful, nice. Wonderful.
I think they're in the under school at the moment, yes.
And how big did you say the school was now?
750 in the...
Yes, that's extraordinary.
The grade school.
Yeah.
750.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the handover when you moved and Jim Cogan was taking over college?
I don't remember anything. Well, I remember it happening, but I don't know, was it particularly dramatic? I don't think so. Might have been for the boys' point of view.
Well, we hear a lot about
that. This is a bit better, you know, you've got a real person now.
Of course, I remember Jim as an English teacher.
Yeah.
Jim Sides what?
I remember Jim teaching English.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. But I don't remember him as Undermaster.
Oh.
Because it was after that time. But one hears stories about how brusque he could be.
Oh, really?
I don't know if there was that sort of culture.
Change. I don't remember that.
I'm afraid rather selfishly one might have been worrying terribly about where we were going. But I don't remember you ever saying that.
Well, I suppose the whole world looks very different from the boys' point of view, doesn't it, really?
Yes.
And the way the staff treat each other and the whole world is different. So something perhaps like that. It wasn't something we connected with Jim at all, was it, really?
No, I wouldn't. Not at all.
I suppose I was wondering, because John Ray, in one of his books, he does write about how this was a very big appointment that he had to deal with very quickly, quite soon after arriving, to replace you as Undermaster.
Replacing me?
Really?
Huge.
He talks about the various, you know, possibilities and the various candidates and how he had to think about it long and hard.
Right.
But I suppose that makes sense. He was relatively new in the job.
Yes, I think it's when you're new, it's more difficult because you don't know the staff. You don't know the staff all that well. I suppose. How long has he been there? We moved off to a year. How long was John?
It was the year. We were just 1 year with John.
That's right, yes. And we did feel a bit guilty about
that. I mean, if we're honest, I think people thought we shouldn't have left Regis and gone to college. So that wasn't thought to be.
How long did we spend in Regis?
It was about 2 years.
Is it all? Gosh.
Three,
perhaps, yes.
Yeah, that's not long, is it?
No.
Not long, I'm afraid. Not long.
For a group of boys and parents.
Yes.
Oh, well. That's what the headmaster wanted us to do, of course.
But it always causes a bit of a ruffle.
Yes, you bet. Especially when you're getting a nice idea.
Moving around new people.
It was quite a good job to have, wasn't it? Mm. It was a good job because it was deputy headmaster and you had the scholars to look after us. And there were not too many of them, only 40 of them. So it was, I think we were quite lucky with it. But some people might have said, no, you moved too quickly and then you moved off too quickly. I don't know.
Did you find the different houses had different characters?
Of course.
Yes.
That's the lovely thing about schools, really. But particularly Westminster, but certainly college, of course, was different. Was a different place in lots of ways. Not just because all the boys were academically so bright, but and it was small, only 40, wasn't it, as far as I remember. And their position in the Abbey, it was different, you know, special position.
But there was a different flavour to each one.
Each house. Mm. Oh, yes, that's true. It's probably still true in
I don't know. About
I mean, Francis was in Busby's quite a long time. And that,
yes,
that
yes.
had its printing press and its play and its and the Film Society. And it was altogether different.
Yes, that was good.
And the Extraordinary Spanish Maid. And then Rigo's was different again.
Mm. What sort of things stood out in Rigo's as the sort of defining...
Mad cook. You must have heard about her.
No.
No, he has.
No, come on, do tell us. I need to know.
Well, it was a very odd arrangement, really, that there were these huge kitchens underground.
Mm.
And they were under the pavement, actually, where that river ran, and dripped with water, and terrifying stories of rodents and things like that. I used to really have to make myself go down in out of turn.
I don't think you get away with it now, do you?
I really don't think so. And the gas leaked, and I'm not sure that wasn't why Miss Isaac had such a bad temper. She was being quietly gassed
all the time.
But she was a very strange person. And then she was one of the people who walked all the way up to the top of the house where her own room was, past our bedroom and right up to there. And it ran with foreign maids, which was a very old-fashioned thing almost then to do, but which was the way of Rigo's. So there were these absolutely extraordinary foreign people who were employed, I think partly by me and the matron together. We used to have to fill in these forms to say it was all correct. And it wasn't like having your own staff. This was the trouble. It was a sort of very tenuous employment. And then Miss Isaac couldn't stand them, so she would empty her teapot all over their clothes and wash them.
Who did that thing?
Miss Isaac.
Yes,
she really was. But she loved the children, our children. She would do anything for them.
That was her plus side.
That was her plus side. And she had a very sort of soft centre for little children.
Mm. But she would never have held a job, I don't think.
I don't know.
No,
in the holidays, she went off to cook for the colonel, and the colonel had lovely things like grouse and pheasant, and lived a proper life, not this subterranean school life that he was made to live.
Oh, gosh. I wonder how they run it now.
Central
cooking and all that sort of...
Mm.
No,
yes,
that's
central
cooking.
Mm. None of the housemasters have maids.
No.
I had a wonderful story about Ramona, who was the Spanish maid in Busby's.
Busby's.
And someone was telling me that the boys were able to bribe her. So in the middle of prayers in Busby's in the evening, she could be paid to drop a teapot at a crucial moment or to sing a Spanish love song as the boys were singing a hymn.
Yes, I think I remember that drawing. Lovely.
I think Rigo's had Lila, who was Finnish. Who was a very simple soul, and the others were mostly Spanish, and Lila stood out as being a rather solid Finn. And she worked very hard, and she came to have free spectacles, free teeth, and then she told me free feet. So I had to take her to the chiropodist in Regent Street, and it never occurred to me to say, make sure you wash first. We were sent away by terrible embarrassment to come back another day. And what is she, her crowning sort of thing was she got up early in the morning to do all this cleaning and stuff and put her hand through a plate glass door, which I mean, now she probably wouldn't have money. Do you remember that? That was
yes, I do remember that. Yes, awful.
And they came running and banging on our bedroom door. Mrs. Rogers, come quickly,
Blood all over the place.
All the way down the stairs. Boys running by with sponge bags.
For life in those days, that was the most dramatic thing that ever happened, I think.
I think it was.
Pretty peaceful things were, really.
There was one worse, but we'll keep that one to ourselves.
Were you able to take... what was being a house tutor at Busby's like when there was a housemaster there? Were you able to do much, or did did Francis Rawls sort of do everything?
We've got on well. I mean, you have to get on well with the person. When we were house tutor, and the housemaster was obviously boss, clearly, quite rightly. But he was really a good person to work with and for. And I always liked Francis, and so it wasn't a problem. And we were all teachers, so we knew what it was about. wasn't particularly difficult, didn't think, to do.
I think he ran the house, and then you stood in for him and did whatever he.
Yes, he was the boss. Yes, but on the other hand, and there were several of us weren't there, house tutors, weren't there? Perhaps not to start with.
I think so.
Don't remember.
Yes, there's a terminology thing there, isn't there? Cause
yes.
Nowadays we refer to one of them as the resident tutor.
Ah.
The one who has to sort of stand in when required.
Yes.
Because you lived in 18
Great
College Street.
Yes,
well, you were in Eccleston Square.
Eccleston Square
first
to start with, that's right, yes. Which is a bit of a longer walk.
And then 18.
I used to walk in from that, did I?
No.
It was too far. I drove in the van. Well, you drove me? No.
No, I didn't.
I don't think you did. But we did have place to park, and I mean, that was a great thing.
I think in those days you could park in Great College Street. I mean, you really
probably
could.
Yes.
Even when we lived in number 18, we used to try and park in Great College Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's extraordinary.
Unthinkable now.
Unthinkable, yes.
Very different from that in those days, from that sort of point of view. But all nice. I always liked living. I always liked London.
Made
like
an igloo on the pavement outside Great College Street in the snow.
that's right. Yes. But it was nice. And whereas I think traditional boarding schools in those days were very isolated places, and they were compact and rather, I don't know, uncomfortable in a way, uncomfortably isolated. Whereas Westminster was relaxed. You could just go off the weekend and go to your spent the time at home, or and even during the week when you weren't necessarily supposed to go out, nobody could track you. Can track the boys where they were. So, obviously, if they arrived back the worse for wear for drink, then there was big trouble. That was quite a big thing. You couldn't stop them going into pubs, and they were usually very careful about it because you were rusticated if you were.
Was that other story the Lycée Janson, who used to come from Paris? I don't know. The Lycée Janson in Paris used to come, and they did a sort of stint in the school, and it was an annual event. And the story I liked was a whole lot of boys who found the French boys climbing over the gate into the yard and said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, we are getting out, you know." And they said, "But why didn't you open the gate?"
Yes, that's right. They couldn't believe the sort of liberality of.
And the famous film. Who was the boy on that famous film? Do something about bounds, and he leant back in his chair and said, "At Westminster, we have no bounds." You must have seen that film.
So there isn't a problem. That was what do you do about the problem of a bound?
Bounds,
we have
right.
No bounds, so there is no problem.
Well, who was that? It's quite a well-known name. Was his father an MP or something?
Can't remember.
No, I've come across that one. That was made for television, I think.
There was one made for ITV, which I don't think I've seen.
Oh, and I think it must be that one, because I don't think we'd gone by that time.
Or
so.
The John Murray one, maybe, that was later.
Could have been.
Which I've never seen all the way through, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I think, seen it all the way through. May have been.
Can you get a hold of those? We don't have them stored away anyway, do we?
No, we don't.
We've got a copy of the John Ray one.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Have we got one? It was a double-barrelled name that he had. Quite a well-known name.
Who was that?
The boy. I can see it, but I can't remember the name.
Yes, it must have been very different without the sort of level of security concerns and obsession that we now have.
Yes.
Because now we have all these gates and locked doors with codes, more to keep people out.
Yes, rather than
the boys
in. Yes, that's quite true. Yes, yes. Now, I think it was a bit more.
Yes.
A bit freer coming and going. Mind you, they got up to some mischief, I think, but on the whole,
the thing is that if you went to a pub and got drunk, of course you were in trouble. So, I mean, if you went to a pub and didn't get drunk, nobody knew.
I mean, Larry, like Daredevil used to run to get theatre tickets in break and get back in time.
That's amazing. Amazing.
You were so near to everything.
And that was allowed. Yeah. That was all part of it. Yes. Yeah. I mean, well, what was allowed was going to a theatre, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which is nice. I mean, perhaps do you think it's still as liberal as that?
I think
the boys now have less free time.
Yes.
Really. Mm. They are more organised and structured than they used to be. I mean, I noticed the difference compared with when I was a pupil myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are two different attitudes, really, within those who run the school.
Yeah.
There are those who slightly regret the loss of freedom and the sort of over-structured timetable approach. And then there's the other view, which is obsessed with making sure that everyone, you know, is sort of on message all the time, that they can't get up to anything. I hope we haven't entirely lost our rather more liberal outlook.
I think the thing about Westminster is it was there. Westminster isn't Westminster.
Yeah.
you couldn't alter that. It was the environment, really. Obviously, you can try and run it as if it was a sort of country school, but it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. Never work. Because when people get out of school, you know, how can you stop them going to a pub? If they get drunk,
the thing that hasn't changed is the character of Westminster boys. Really.
You don't think it's
changed much at all, actually.
Really? That's interesting.
Yes.
There's less room for spontaneity, though, in life. Mm. I think all round, there's less room for spontaneity in life. You know, just turning up to theatre these days, so you have to sort of book in advance.
Yeah.
So although they go, it tends to be organised for them.
Mm. Mm.
You think? Mm. I feel there's less opportunity for the pupils to direct things in that way.
Mm.
Yes, and I think also it's partly to do with academic pressures and expectations.
Yes.
I mean, one thing that's changed in the last 5 or 10 years dramatically is, you know, they can be doing exceptionally well and getting their offers from Oxford, Cambridge, wherever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But the offers are now so high that they then can't afford to relax at all because they have to get their A's and A stars.
So they're so concentrated, so hard working.
Yeah, the sort of the risks of anything going wrong seem to be so much greater.
Great.
Mm.
I think they always were quite hard working, weren't they, really? Considering what a liberal, open society it was, and presumably still is, nevertheless, they worked.
Well, they achieved.
They had to. I mean, they had to. If they want to get anywhere and get to a good university, you have to work jolly hard.
Mm.
And I think that was...
Mm. We've possibly lost a little bit of breadth in that.
Ah, yes.
Because the focus is so much more...
Yes, I think it is much harder. I mean, it's much more difficult.
It's harder to get into universities now. You need A's all round, you're afraid.
Oh, yes.
And then that doesn't seem to follow it either, does it?
Well, even that's not enough.
What else can you do? Well, this is sport significant now?
Yes, I mean, they like to think so.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think many boys at 13 come to Westminster for the sport.
No,
no.
Of course they wouldn't.
But actually, we're doing pretty well in our major.
Really, relative
rowing is strong. Water is very strong. Football is actually pretty good.
Yeah. And that's much bigger school, isn't it? You said 700.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, there's a much bigger.
It was 400
group
like
review
those. It's a huge difference.
And music.
And music is exceptionally strong.
Yes, yes. Exactly. Well, there's a lot of talent about, isn't there?
Mm.
And there are no doubt some good teachers as well. But,
I'll let Elizabeth answer that.
No, I think it's assumed now too that all the boys really play an instrument.
Really, everybody plays an instrument.
It's
normal life.
Well, I mean, I know. Yes, this isn't meant to be me on tape at all. But I remember when I was in the fifth form, first music lesson, and the class were divided in half, so there were 11 of us, I think, and. They started off, they went round, they said, tell us which instruments you play. And they went round the first five or six, my classmates, mm-hmm. and they were all sort of saying things like grade 6 piano and grade 7 violin. And I was getting more and more terrified, mm-hmm. because I was gearing up to say, I don't play an instrument. Mm-hmm. And I still think now I was quite brave to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who it was. It was a music teacher who's now left.
Mm.
He was astonished
yes,
when
yes.
I said this.
Yes. Don't play an
instrument. Because music was basically the thing I
yes.
didn't do,
mm.
really.
Mm.
And he just couldn't believe it.
Mm.
Couldn't believe it.
I don't think that was quite so snarky.
We were always very struck by how musical the scholars were. I mean,
yes.
not all of them. Not all of them,
mm.
I mean, but they were a very...
But do you think
the
that,
chances
yes,
were very
of course
high,
they were with the scholars, but with the, mm. throughout the school.
Well, Rito's had a great jazz band. There was a tremendous
mm.
jazz chap there at the
mm.
time,
mm.
and he got a great jazz band going.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
So it probably was well above average.
I'm not sure about that.
Mm.
There was a lot of discussion about whether it was as good musically as it should have been.
Mm. In those days, yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. I remember we had Norrington, Roger Norrington,
mm.
was a four.
Yes.
I can remember him conducting. I think we weren't married. I think it was the year before the school concert Roger Norrington
mm.
conducted.
He was in Busby's, of course.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
Incredible.
But he was a very talented person.
He was a wonderful cellist.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. I don't know what happened to him.
But this would, yeah, of course.
Mm.
That's, I mean, going way, way back.
Mm.
About the same time, do you remember?
Mm. I wonder if we went back now, what would we find, do you think, the most different from when we were there?
I think you would immediately notice, because of all these new buildings
mm.
we've got and the way the school has grown in numbers.
Where are they, all these new buildings?
A lot of them are sort of outside, just outside the precinct, or
mm.
you know, Dean's Yard, Tufton Street.
Just explaining.
Mm.
Towards
yes,
Vincent
yes,
Square.
Yes.
So I think you notice that it's
yes.
not as centred in Little Dean's Yard.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything is around Yard in the
well,
way that
it quite a good thing,
used
really.
To be. I think it makes the place calmer.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly during the day,
yes, yes, yes.
you change over between
yeah.
lessons,
yes,
it's
mm.
a slightly calmer experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes things feel
mm.
slightly different.
Mm. And you said
know,
there were 700?
Yeah. I mean, and I think you'd notice
mm.
the number of pupils there for
mm.
things like Abbey and Latin prayers.
Mm.
You would feel the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... if you went into a lesson, you know, if you went into a classroom, went into a science lab, I hope it would be really quite recognisable,
mm,
actually.
Mm.
In terms of the actual experience that the pupils have.
Yes, it's very good, because they were very
do.
Responsive, that's really, I mean,
yes.
you've got a lot of contact teaching there, it was marvellous.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a lot from them,
mm.
and that's what makes it special.
Yes, yes.
So I think, in a way, it's the sort of more public institutional things that would feel different.
Mm.
The actual
mm.
experience of
mm.
it's obviously still a very popular school, isn't it?
Mm.
It sounds like
oh yes.
It.
Yeah.
What about Election Sunday and all that? That was the big
mm.
excitement.
Ah,
nowadays.
Yes.
That was
yes. Well,
election dinner.
I think the thing that's changed is that because of the way that public exams now work. Actually, nearly half the school is on sort of permanent study leave, having done their GCSEs, A-levels. And so, at the end of the election term,
mm-hmm.
only half the school is really there
mm-hmm.
for all these things. And that's a change, because they don't all have to come back,
mm-hmm.
Which I find odd. But, you know, election dinner, we're trying to recapture the tradition of the election dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Which particular tradition you?
Well, for the last 4 or 5 years,
mm.
To do with our headmaster who retired last year, he preferred to have the election dinner up school,
mm.
which I thought was very radical.
Oh.
So we're going back to College Hall.
Oh, lovely! What a
thing. Which I think is important,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we're trying to slim down certain elements of it that have got a bit out of hand. some of the musical elements. Mm-hmm. Of course, this was out of hand, actually. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's so many vested interests
mm-hmm.
involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at the heart of it, I mean, I rather love the sort of witty epigrams part mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. Some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this means they've put me in charge of it. Which is not good news at all. But I think we want to focus on what the election dinner really is and make sure that we don't have all these sort of extra...
So what would you count as what the election dinner really is?
I think what the election dinner is really about, you have to have a sizeable number of guests from within the school,
mm-hmm.
not completely dominated by external guests.
By
external guests.
External
this
guests.
Has changed slightly because I think sometimes not enough
there
of
were
the common
many
room
from outside. Mm.
Because the common room grew so much that they couldn't invite all the
everybody
common room.
Is,
yeah,
of course,
and
yeah.
so suddenly it's not
yeah.
really the common room
dinner.
There.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also we want to have what I see as the sort of rather Augustan 18th century epigram tradition rather than the sort of musical, showy, more extensive sorts of things that have been contributed recently
mm-hmm.
that have rather changed the feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balance. It's a balance. I don't know, I'm not expressing myself very well.
No, I understand.
I haven't prepared my answer to
that. No, it sounds... We had a very funny thing where the wives were invited by Mrs. Bird, not Arthur, to stand up in the minstrels' gallery.
Ah.
Yes, I think they did that again about 10 years ago for a couple of years.
We stood on biscuit tins.
They had an alternative election dinner about sort of 10, 15 years ago where all the partners would get together.
Right.
And of course, at that stage, they weren't all women, but
no,
essentially there were some male partners who were left out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, this was really just have a little peep.
You were allowed to, yes. That's
yes.
Very special.
And
very,
I didn't wear
very liberal.
Dress the first time. I ran down Victoria Street from Eccleston Square because I was working and I ran down. No children to get there, and they were all in full evening dress. For me.
Wow.
It's pretty black.
It was rather fun. It was rather fun, I think. It still is fun, I think, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't
it? Yeah. I think the poor member of the common room who's in charge of the event doesn't enjoy it at all. But
yeah.
But I've enjoyed it whenever I've gone. It's a very nice evening.
Yes. I doubt you're reorganising it.
As a non-classicist?
Mm.
Well.
That's a good thing.
I think that's part of the agenda, really, in a way. I mean, it's not just a classics event.
Mm.
No.
And do they still have that funny cricket match outside in Yard, the scholars? And
well, Yard cricket and Yard football...
Mm-hmm.
are a bit controversial at the moment because they are relaying the surface of Yard and it's going to look beautiful but some of us slightly regret it at the same time because all
it
that
used to be gravel, didn't it?
The character, because
yes.
it was different surfaces in different parts
that's right.
of
that's
Yard
right. That's right.
That was very characterful and rather historically revealing.
Yes, children remember that.
And I slightly, well of course we all think that this relaying of Yard is, it sort of doubles up as an agenda of phasing out certain Yard games.
We'll
see. That's a conspiracy.
There is a conspiracy. It's the fact that it sort of looks as if they want it to become a sort of piazza with benches and people milling around.
Tables with umbrellas. Isn't
yes, a sort of different feel. So we'll see. I hope that some of the Yard games will come back actually when they've finished. Because all the section outside Rego's at the moment is like a building site because they're still doing that corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken them longer than they intended because they haven't been able to get the stone. It comes from one particular quarry in Yorkshire, and they couldn't quite cope with the demand. So it was meant to be done by November, and then it slipped to Christmas.
Oh dear.
And now they're saying it should finish this half term, and they are nearly there.
Oh, well, by the end of March. Yeah.
The grand opening's in June, so hopefully they'll get there by then.
We must come and look at it sometime.
Oh yes, yes. You'll be. I think you'll be amazed by it because it does look completely different. Actually, has a huge impact. They have kept the sort of cobbled pathways, which is important.
Keeps it as a character. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, it is. I mean, it is sympathetic. I think.
Yeah. But there are conspiracy theories.
Yes.
Of course, the other thing that would look slightly different is Rigo's when they had it cleaned.
Oh,
it's a bit bright.
Yes. On this that side,
yes,
all the red,
orange,
and yellow
red.
Looking into yard is very.
It's quite dramatic. Some people wish they hadn't cleaned it.
Ah, as ever. Yes. I suppose it'll weather down again.
Yes.
Yes, give it 100 years, we'll be right back.
I mean, we had a very nice housemaster from Rigo's, didn't we?
It was
a few years ago now.
Well,
Hugh Williams.
Kind of
curly dark hair.
No, I don't
tall,
think.
Tall, blonde.
Yes.
Keith Tompkins.
Yeah.
Keith is, he's still at school teaching English, but he stepped down from the house a few years ago. Because he'd been housemaster of Wren's first, and then Rigo's.
And then
Rigo's.
So he'd done a long housemaster.
So he did quite a long.
It's the only Rigo sort of gathering we went to, and we enjoyed it very much.
How long ago was that?
Very nice. Oh, it's a few years now.
His son
is in the Rigo's fifth form now, Theo Tompkins. So the tradition continues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Keith thought he would step down as a housemaster just before his children came to the school as pupils.
Which
made sense.
Sensible, really.
Yes, his new job, as well as teaching English, is he's in charge of public examinations, which is not something we envy. Really.
Sounds a little problem.
Yeah.
Administration there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the thing I would like to But obviously, I mean, presumably pressure on places is still the same.
Very much so. I mean, I think, it is so competitive, and I think there's more and more of this sort of private tutoring and trying to get boys in.
Do they, most of them come from London prep schools?
Yes, yeah. I mean, of course, the underschool has grown as well, so there's still a
size. Can you tell me how big you said it was?
Well, the underschool is, what is it, about 200 and
probably getting on for 300 now, really.
Wow. Yes, that is.
And that's all new premises in Vincent Square.
Vincent Square. Which is, I mean, it's a very good building. They've actually expanded recently.
They've expanded the building?
Yeah, they've got a building just the other side of the road in Douglas Street.
They've got a new dining hall for the boys there. And they use the new sports centre quite a lot. They rather get a bit more use out of it than we do, in a way, because they're right on hand for it.
Yes.
So we're a little jealous.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the new sports centre, have we?
Well, we haven't seen
anything.
Really. We've seen the theatre.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I've only been in the new sports centre 3 times myself.
I go quite frequently. It's very sympathetically adapted because it's an really beautiful Art Deco building, and they're able to sort of adapt it without
the
doing
RHS.
That much.
Yeah.
So it has worked quite well, actually. I think it has been a happy solution to a lot of problems there. But it just came at rather the wrong time.
In what sense? Why was it the wrong time?
Well, we just bought the Cowley Fathers, so we were overstretched ourselves a little bit, I think.
I don't think we're quite making full use of it yet in terms of the way we timetable things in the week. But that's rather a big issue.
Yes, but you can do that. You've got time to do that.
Yes, I think things will have to be adjusted a bit.
It's one of those difficult things. It's very difficult in the schools, isn't it, to get a very limited space and a large number of pupils, and you've got to get them all. Incredibly difficult. You can't afford to have places empty half the time, can you?
No
way. Especially in the middle of London.
I mean, this is a Westminster problem, particularly, there's always pressure on space.
Oh, yes.
Yes. On the other hand, you can get rid of the wall. Country boarding schools, you really are, they're on top of you all the time. You know, you can't say, well, off you go home now, really. Mm. But I think Westminster, obviously, it's weekly boarding, isn't it, essentially? It always has been. Whereas most independent schools are full boarding. Really. They do go, perhaps they get more, I'm not sure, they probably go home on the weekends much more than they used to. I expect that's true. But at one time you just arrived at school and you just stayed there for 13 weeks.
Well, I do remember once we had nobody in college one weekend. Mm. Often we had about two, because there were fewer boys, but in Rico's event there was always quite a lot. Mm. But that's way back, isn't it? Things have changed. But
People get their own travel becomes...
There was one poor boy whose father had been at Westminster and said... Because he'd never been allowed home at weekends, his son couldn't come.
Ludicrous, and absolutely ludicrous.
So he was always there on Sunday.
Yes, that's hard. So there's not. I mean, the thing about Westminster is, it's free of that sort of tradition, isn't it? Really, it's flexible. So if you've got a conservative father, you're in trouble. In that sense. Still.
I suppose one of the big changes you must have seen, sort of moving from the 50s through to the early 70s, was sort of corporal punishment going away, fagging, ending almost.
All those things happening, yes, that's right, yes, yes. That was a great help. There was beating. We got rid of that, didn't we? I remember we worked quite hard to get rid of that because there were quite a lot of people who wanted to.
I'm not sure Westminster, that. I think you're in the wrong school.
Am I? More than you think of, am I?
But there was. Still beating at Westminster, but it was really.
You think the battle at Morven was harder? Yes.
I think it was a bit different there. Yeah. They were. Well, it's not quite relevant, but we did notice a different sort of school ethos from Westminster, London.
Yes,
you know, quite. Very modern and advanced looking. When we went out to a country boarding school, attitudes and
sort of 50 years behind the times. Yes.
It was. You always said the liberal. 60s hit Westminster, and then they were really just arriving in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. 20 years later, whatever it was.
Because we had these demonstrations at Westminster.
What were the demonstrations from London?
There's a very good story about the one demonstration. What was it all to do with? You used to tell the story. And then the headmaster said to the ringleader, "By all means, dear boy," this was John Carlton, "come up to my study and we'll have a glass of sherry." And they had several glasses of sherry, by which time the whole demo had vanished. I mean, it was
very clever.
He was very clever at that sort of thing. And it was quite tricky. And there were, I think, two demos, weren't there?
But it was very skillful. Typical John Carlton.
Yes.
Diplomacy.
Yes.
Get the leader out. And all the things they were waiting down there. Where's he gone? He was being filled up with sherry.
I mean, largely because everybody was having demos outside in Trafalgar Square, so it was the thing to do.
Fashionable.
To have a demo. Yes,
that's actually one that's lovely.
And then the Thames nearly flooded, didn't you? Somebody mentioned that too. That was quite dramatic. I mean, it's not really a school problem, but it would have been.
Could have been.
Yes.
It would have been, but it never flooded the school.
In number 18, we woke. On a dawn, there were loudspeakers going round saying, "There is danger of flooding, there is danger of..." Well, that was quite alarming, danger of flooding. And we all rushed out of our houses. And we had all sorts of things in the basement, whereas all our smart neighbours just had billiard tables and things like that. And it was lapping the top of the parapet, because everybody went out and had a look. And then they came round, the danger of flooding is now past. At about sort of 6 in the morning, I suppose. And then it happened once more. We were in Riga's. I can remember standing on the balcony and looking down, and the barrage was sort of put in place after.
Yes, it must have been before the Thames
barrage. It still happens.
Still
happens.
No, because of the barrage they put in the barrage.
Because of the wall, yes, that's right. Yes, come to think of it, so they didn't do it earlier, really.
Well,
perhaps it was a lot expensive.
I mean, there had been a. disaster, hadn't they? Many years before. Mm. They hadn't had it. That was quite a surprise, I think, that first time.
Mm. They do still talk about it, though.
Do they?
It's a film made quite recently. I remember seeing they'd done these sort of images of what it would look like.
Oh dear.
They showed
water right
Westminster
across.
Underwater, and the idea was to show the Houses of Parliament underwater, but actually it was the perfect image of Westminster School
underwater. Yes, that's right, yes. Very tricky, very tricky.
That would have been a different way of solving the basement of Rigo's issue.
Yes, it would have done, yes.
Are we doing lunch tonight?
No, I did
We're not doing lunch. You've done lunch, you've ordered. You offered lunch.
I did.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. That's done. Mm. Yes, flooding was something we've been nowhere else we've been where there's been flooding, hasn't there? I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean it dripped in number 18. I don't know what it's like now, but in the basement there was an old-fashioned coal cellar, and the river that had gone down Great Cornish Creek. I've forgotten its name.
Tyburn.
Tyburn.
Yes.
Was it?
Is that right?
Yes, although it was rechanneled, actually, wasn't it?
Oh, right. It dripped, you know, constantly. It dripped constantly. If you went in there, you were wet. It was not entirely rechanneled.
Yes.
Still.
Who lives there now, in number 18?
It's actually the Undermaster. Because now that the Undermaster is not Master of the Queen's Scholars, because the Master of the Queen's Scholars lives in number 3, and number 18 is the Undermaster's house.
Oh, right.
Does
he have it all? Or?
He does. Mm. In fact, the...
Well, that's all nice, yes.
Eddie Smith, who you may have... I'm sure you would
heard
have...
Ring the bell, yes.
He lived there when he was Undermaster, and he actually stayed living there... after he stepped down as Undermaster, but was still teaching. But since his retirement, the new Undermaster has moved in, so it seems to be established. But very, very nice for him. He's got 2 young children, Undermaster.
Yes.
Although I did hear from Eddie that there was quite a lot of work that needed to be done on the fabric of the house.
Yes.
I think there are some problems structurally.
I mean, it's an old, old house.
There are a lot of problems with it. If you've got housing in Westminster, you've got problems. They are quite old, aren't they?
We had a great flood. There was an extraordinary cloudburst over London. It's very unusual. And it just came straight through number 18 from top to bottom. And really, really dirty water of a sort of centuries. And you went up there and we discovered that the gutter, because all the smart houses had got another floor built on number 18, hadn't. The gutter actually went through from front to back, through the attic. Do you remember?
Yes, I've forgotten, but you remind me of it, darling.
But of course, it
terrifying.
The water, so all the came straight
shocking,
down.
Wasn't it? Yes, very difficult.
I don't know what happened about that.
I think they may have patched it up.
Well, one of the troubles, of course, with schools, you were doing a school accommodation, the bursar never does all the things they ought to do.
Yes.
And the school doesn't want to spend money, whereas if you've got your own house...
You have to.
You've just got to.
It was very
pretty
up there. I mean, the pound, it was the old pound tiles, and it was just like being a picture book. I wonder if they're still there.
Incredible.
Well, neither of us have been...
Haven't been...
Wow, extraordinary.
But most of them had another floor put on, hadn't they?
Did they? That's what they did.
Houses.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
That kept it dry.
I suppose they discovered it when they were building it.
The roof, which hadn't got holes in it and things like that. Yes, I think people wouldn't live in those.
MP would put on another story.
Yes. When we were last in Westminster, I can't remember.
I think for the film show.
For the film show, that was it. Yes, that's right. Yes.
How many years ago?
You were saying yes.
It was nearly 4 years ago because
it
was one of the first things
really?
I did when I started.
So three
and a half years ago. Yes.
Mm.
school. We don't really go to London now. So.
That's a great place. Mm. And it's a great place because its environment is so different, isn't it? Most schools, your average boarding school is so different.
Actually, I think we may have gone to Camem after that.
Did we go to Camem?
Yes. Sorry.
One of the big ones, or one of the small ones?
No,
it was
one
of the big ones.
Yes, I'm afraid they've made me run big Camem as well.
Ah, okay. Well, you're needed.
You're still finding your feet, aren't you?
You're probably needed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are a few issues there with attendance more than anything else.
Really?
You know, because
people
don't
want to go.
It's not compulsory for the pupils now.
Really?
Though we're having discussions about whether it
should be
once again.
Quite, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the problem we've had recently is not enough of them go.
That's sad.
And so
you do need the school.
The feeling of the whole event is
yes.
not quite right.
No, quite.
No,
there aren't any boys, many boys there. What are you commemorating? Yes. I'd agree. I thought it was worth making it compulsory for.
I don't think we notice that, but you have to be careful because you just remember how things work.
Just go along.
And
it,
well, it has changed a lot. And the interesting thing is, for those who've been every time, they don't really notice because it's so subtle. And yet over decades, it's changed dramatically.
Yeah.
But it's sort of had to, really.
Yeah. Things have to change. They have to change. You can't keep things absolutely unchanging. It doesn't work. The world changes, especially if you're somewhere like Westminster in the middle of London. It's changing all the time. So I think that's one of the good things, many good things about Westminster is you didn't feel you were going back 300 years when you went into the school.
Because the headmaster is very new now.
Oh,
yes.
Our new headmaster started last September.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
From rugby.
Yes.
So we've got our own back after Walter Hill.
Yes.
Yes, I think it's very good. He's,
like you were saying, he's been a headmaster a long time, but he has moved from school to school.
Yes, that's the.
He's been in different.
That's a necessity. That's important, I think, when you are a headmaster, you do need to move from time to time.
It's interesting because it's the first time he's been in a London school.
Yes.
Ah,
he's had so much experience of so many different positions in other schools, but never in London.
No, London is different.
I think that's right.
That's
yes.
the thing I like about London. Among other things, but it is different. And you can't, it has to be liberal, doesn't it? You can't not. Even if you have a country boarding school, you can control it, I suppose. I don't know whether you can now, but you can't now.
I think you can have the illusion that you
illusion
do.
You can control
yes.
it, yes. Whereas at Westminster, you can't even have the illusion.
Yeah.
Yes.
yes. Well, that's quite a good thing.
But I think he rather likes the Westminster character, actually, and that's interesting because it's completely new to him. But he is teaching sixth form history, which is a good sign and a very good way of getting to know the
absolutely.
Character of the pupils properly.
Central, I think, for him to teach. Absolutely central.
Because you know there are heads now
who
don't teach.
Yeah,
and
that's
I
not
think
good.
That's a real problem.
I think there were one or two when we were.
I don't know.
Because I always insisted on teaching. I didn't see how you could get the feel of the school at all. You sat in your study and they were all when you got into a classroom you really got the feeling, and also you could hear what's happening in the next door classroom.
Yes. Absolutely.
quite useful, really. Quite good. Seems a long time since we did that sort of thing, Diane.
This is
quite old. 20 years. Was it?
What? When we left schools?
Mm-hmm.
91.
So what?
91.
91, yes. I can't work out. That's more like 30 years. Isn't it? Well, anyway, it's a long time. I can't do the sums.
Well, I can do them now, but you have to do the sums.
I used to be able to do the sums. So you used to ask me to do them for
you. I did, yes.
But,
Has he got children?
Yes, grown up. And actually, he and his family are living in Vincent Square, which is rather radical.
Oh, what?
It's rather a radical change. They've got a schoolhouse in Vincent Square because actually, since David Summerscale, headmasters have not lived in number 17. Because it's all offices, and you know, the headmaster's study is still there. His office. Mm-hmm. But
so where have they been living?
They were living in Lord North Street. I think Patrick thought he didn't really want to live there. He didn't really
bit
want
too near.
That sort of house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it was his request to go to Vincent Square.
Which house?
It's very near the under school, actually.
Yes, on that left side.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's very nice because, you know, I've been around there once for drinks, and it was very interesting because it just felt like the family had moved in to what was a normal house, and this was a very normal thing, rather than the slightly awkward atmosphere, really, of the way, you know, the headmaster's house, which is sort of not quite in the school, but is sort of in the school. Lord North Street was a strange compromise there, I think.
Because there aren't nice houses in Lord North.
Well, not inside.
Not inside.
They should be nicer than they are, really.
The pokey room's quite claustrophobic feeling, I
felt. Because it was never quite sorted out, the question of where the headmaster should live at Westminster. Because David Summerscale told me recently that when he was appointed in 1986, a little group of the governing body told him that he ought to live in number 3 Little Dean's Yard.
Of course.
And he said, who's going to tell Jim Coburn? So that was a non-starter. But the living in number 17 was always a little bit
awkward place. I can understand that.
And of course they rather needed the space
for the school.
For school offices.
So it's easier to move your
offices.
Headmaster out than just
I think that's right.
Offices out. Mm.
Well, I suppose it lasted because of John being a bachelor.
Yes.
With Janet. But I mean
the Rays lived there.
And the Rays.
That was a very interesting experience.
I don't think how they all fitted.
I can't imagine.
There was quite a lot of space on the top floor in the sort of attic bit.
But it was difficult.
But it must have been tricky. I know the Summerscales didn't find it ideal.
And I don't think the Hamiltons did either.
No.
Actually, did they?
I think that was a major factor in going to Rugby, wasn't it? So, I don't know, who knows where the next headmaster will be.
So is it his own house in Vincent Square?
It's a schoolhouse.
Oh, it's a schoolhouse.
But we were renting it before.
It was sort of reclaimed from a private tenant.
Well, from a private tenant, yeah.
Okay. So, I suppose the question is whether they sort of essentially ask each headmaster what he would prefer in his appointment. But the undermaster has to live very close to the school, to be on site, and obviously you've got all the...
He doesn't live in number 3.
The Master Queen Scholars is number 3, and the undermaster in 18.
Oh, I see. They're separate. They don't do the same job together.
It's
a different job.
Different from the job.
And where does the headmaster of the underschool live? Still in the Mews?
No, I think she
I don't know where Liz lives.
I think she lives in her own house, doesn't she? Not sure. I don't think she lives in school accommodation, as far as I know.
Yes, it's
she.
She,
the master, Mrs. Hill.
That's a bit confusing for some people.
She taught in Chiswick before, didn't she? Or what, someone of those?
It was somewhere
Dulwich,
in, I think it was Dulwich.
Yes.
It was
she probably Dulwich. Does live, have a home in London.
I think that's right. Because, she was quite experienced. Other schools, which is quite it.
And then, does the school still have Eccleston Square?
No.
None of it?
No.
No, because that was part of moving everything to Vincent Square.
Yes, right. Mm. I didn't know if they'd kept Donna's accommodation.
I mean, what they've done essentially is sold various outlying bits of accommodation to focus on the sort of Vincent Square hub.
Yes.
Mm. So they've bought some extra property in Vincent Square. Yes.
That's
I thought of the
portrait.
Other scientist.
It has rather.
John Osborne was the other scientist.
Oh.
Remember? John Osborne.
Yes, what about?
Well, we were trying to think of science masters.
Ah,
He was the other scientist. Because they lived in Eccleston Square under
us.
Mm.
Does the school own more property than it used to in our day?
Definitely.
Oh, yes.
It's bought up a lot. Much,
yes.
Not very wise.
Family had very little.
Mm.
They bought quite a lot in sort of Vauxhall Stockwell way,
mm-hmm.
out on the Victoria line.
For staff to live in.
For staff to live in, some of which they've now sold, but it was quite a good investment.
Yeah, I bet it was. But it was. You can't go wrong, can you, really, in central London? Not really. Mm.
Oh, and they're in the process of selling, well, they have sold now two of the houses on Barton Street.
Oh, really?
Right in Francis Round.
Yes.
That
was where the girl boarders were.
Where the girls' boarders.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Where the woodhouses were, sort of lower down or up?
Yes, four and five.
Four and five.
Mm-hmm. So on the left.
On the left,
just
yes.
Just towards the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean,
indeed, they have sold Lord North Street now too,
yes.
haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Where the previous headmaster lived. So they're trying to
rationalise it. And there was another in Barton Street on the opposite side.
We've still got that one.
Yes.
That's three staff flats. I mean, I think it was a pity selling Barton Street house.
Yes.
We needed
yes.
to, because, you know,
the money was
to pay for things.
Desperately needed for us all.
But it was rather special having those houses just around the corner.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We'll never get them back.
No, sure not. No. Well, there was the first one where the Cravens lived. Wasn't there?
Yes,
that's
number two.
That's number two.
Which
yes.
we still, that was also part of Purcell's as girl boarders, but that's the one we haven't.
So.
And then there's number, is it 19? On the right, which we still have.
Yes.
Then we sold
four and five. Mm. I don't want any food for these poor people to have.
No, you've asked that, haven't you?
Sorry?
You've asked that and they don't want it.
They don't want it. They really don't want it.
Well, I did offer it, but I
got it. Yeah, no, we must get
a glass of wine. Glass of wine?
Oh, no thanks.
No. Okay. We've tried that before. I keep trying. I haven't tried it before. Oh, dear. So,
is there anything else you wanted to say before we switch the recording off? Yes,
did you have it? Anything you would like to add to what you've said?
In any particular area?
No, I think we've asked all the questions.
And I've answered some questions as well.
Yes, I think we've asked all we wanted to ask. So.
You should probably think of something when you're driving away.
Yes,
on the train.
That happens.
Yes.
I do get phone calls
yes.
sometimes and I sort of drop these things down.
Yeah.
Alright, well, thank you very much. I'll turn to
What's that? That's